Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast. My name is Charlotte Pressler, and I am the Director of Formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
I'm the Reverend Canon Gwen Lynch. I'm Canon to the Ordinary here in the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego. Fancy title for Assistant to the Bishop. Canon is an assistant. The Ordinary is the Bishop. And we love our fancy titles here, so that's mine. And I am really happy to be here with Charlotte and Greg to talk about Pentecost.
That's right. And if you notice, listeners, the person who is not here is my beloved co-host, David Tremaine. David, we miss you. But Gwen and I are going to hold down both the fort and the conversation today.
We will muddle through.
And have a good time. Gwen, one of the things we love to ask here, and you did talk a little bit about your ministry context, but what are you working on right now? What is the Canon to the Ordinary doing?
I am working primarily on congregational development and clergy development, working with congregations who are in transition, looking for new clergy. I am also working with several congregations and with their vestries or bishop's committees. And then I do other duties as assigned, and there's a bunch of them.
That's right. That's right. Including quite often all of us wandering down the hall to ask you things.
Yes. Canon chaos.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for your support of all, not just of the bishop or the congregations, but of all of us who get to work with you here in the office.
You're very welcome.
And so then the other question that we love to ask of our guests on the podcast is there a place that you have seen or felt God's presence in your life within the last week or so, either a consolation or a desolation?
Oh, this is a consolation in the midst of desolation, actually, using those words. I have been watching a friend of mine deal with a friend of hers, a dear friend of 40 years, whose husband is quite ill. And I have watched this friend of mine support them as they make some really difficult decisions. And her faithfulness and their faithfulness is just really struck me as the power of community and the reason we are here together. We were not created in isolation. God saw that it was not good to be in isolation. And I believe that we are at our best when we are connected to one another. And so I saw God in that very holy work that she was doing.
And I love that opportunity to think of community that way, because oftentimes we think about community gatherings as joyful places. And truthfully, community, often when we need it most, is in the hard places, where the sad places, where the sticky places.
Absolutely. And so often, I think because, and it's probably human nature, it might not even be a cultural thing, but human nature is to avoid those scary, sad, dark, difficult places. And Christian community instead draws us into those so that we do support one another. And it makes a difference in the world and in our lives.
Yeah, that's been true for me for sure. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that God sighting with us. And I would love to invite our podcast listeners to remember that we always want to hear from you, your God sightings, your ministry context, what's going on in your life. If you have a point on the gospel today, and there's lots of ways for you to engage with us. You can engage with us on Instagram. You can send us a message, comment on a post there. You can email us faith2go@edsd.org. All of those are great ways. And we also love to like share those with the listening audience. So if you send us a note, we're going to hear about it afterwards. And you've heard us highlight many times lots of our listeners who engage with us, because our podcast community isn't just the people here in this room. It's also the people that are listening. So we encourage you all to chime in.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's right. So that said, this is the part of the podcast where we transition to the reading of the gospel, which I will do today, except I'm not reading the gospel. Why am I not reading the gospel?
Because it's not called the feast day of John chapter whatever. It's the feast day of Pentecost. And we hear about Pentecost in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And so I flexed my Canon to the Ordinary muscle.
Yeah, you did.
And and said, no, no, we're not reading from the Gospel of John. We are reading from the Acts of the Apostles.
Yes, I appreciate it so much because when I came down to your office last week about something different, you had your Bible out and you were like, why are we even talking about this? There are so many other more interesting things in this week's lectionary.
We could even have done the Valley of the Dry Bones from Ezekiel. I mean, the possibilities abound.
Yes. So. Well, and I appreciate it because I will honestly say that I have on this podcast talked about that John reading enough times to be quite happy to talk about Acts of the Apostles. So thank you.
Maybe I'm just chicken.
That's not it. I assure you that is not it. So friends, that said, our reading that we are going to hear today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I am going to read it, and then Canon Gwen is going to give us a little bit of context, and then we each will have a point. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, I got through the reading.
All those names. Well done.
I know. It was actually less tricky than last week's gospel to read, because last week's gospel I had like no punctuation, so many prepositions.
Really?
And about 35 pronouns in it. It was a thing. So, having read it, will you offer us some context?
Yes. You might wonder, what are all of these people doing in Jerusalem? And the day of Pentecost was a Jewish festival. I looked it up so that I would get all of the names correct. It was the Feast of Shavuot, also called the Feast of Weeks, one of the three pilgrimage festivals, and it coincided with the wheat harvest. And most importantly, it marked the revelation of the Ten Commandments to the Jews in the wilderness. And so people from all over the known world are there. And what I find interesting about that is seeing the extent of Judaism in this time. All of these different places around the Mediterranean have come together as faithful people here in Jerusalem. And so we see people from, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, all of these places where there are faithful Jews living who have made this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which couldn't have been easy, couldn't have been cheap, and they are there just in time to experience this miracle with the coming of the Holy Spirit.
I love that. And I think that it particularly resonates for me because I just traveled this weekend. I am just back from Chicago from my daughter's graduation. And having taken planes and sat on tarmacs and taken trains and all of those things that felt like a really big deal within my travel day was nothing compared to the effort that it took for these people to get to where they were going for this festival.
Right. Sailing ships and, you know, that didn't have a motor on them. Sailing ships and overland, and it had to be a huge enterprise, but one of these holy pilgrimages. And so at some point in your life, you want to make that pilgrimage. And so here you are.
And see, we could just talk about this as our points, but it turns out that we do have two points that are unrelated to the travel that they took to get there. And I have the first one. I was thinking about all of the languages that were spoken. Let's see if I can find where it is in here. And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? And I was thinking about the difference between listening and hearing, particularly as it relates to this gospel, because like it is different to hear and to listen. One of them is like the way that you consume the knowledge, like, and you can hear things. We heard just a moment ago a plane fly overhead. Our listeners may not have heard it, but you and I did. But if I really listen to something that's going on, it does imply that I have processed it, that I have absorbed it, and that maybe I'm going to do something with it, or maybe I'm going to ignore it. But the fact that these languages that were spoken gave everybody the opportunity not just to hear the noise of what was being said by the apostles in this situation, but to listen to them, because they couldn't have understood what was being said if it hadn't been in all of their own languages, because they had traveled from all of these far-flung places. So maybe we are talking about travel a little bit too within it, right?
We are, yes.
Because they came from all of these places, they didn't necessarily speak the language that was being spoken there. Maybe some of them spoke multiple languages, but most of them probably did not. And so having the language be their own language that they were both able to hear and to listen to allowed them to absorb what was being delivered in that space. And I think that that's really powerful to think about. And as I was reading it today, I was thinking back to the instructions that Jesus gives after the parable of the sower. One of my favorite parables. After the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, "When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive. They may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven.'" And that sounds hard, right? Like that it's an element of trickery that's put there for us. And I wrestle with that a little bit because part of me wonders that the trickery is put in to trick us, or that it is our own inability to grasp and to wrestle with it at that given time. I often think that, you know, we understand different pieces of parables and scripture in general based on how our own life is going, whatever our own experiences are, inform the way that we connect to scripture for sure. And so taking that and then thinking about what is happening here in the reading from Acts, and then fast forwarding, not from this time where people had to sail in ships without motors and travel overland and navigate on their own dusty feet to get to this feast, but instead into this time in which we are living now. And I wonder what that means for us in this current day. And so I was thinking about like the languages that were spoken, not necessarily from the thought process of the number of languages within our world, but thinking instead about the way in which we grasp reality, we connect to Christ, and the opportunity in any one given congregation to share the good news of Christ, to share the gospel in community in a way that people can not only hear it, but are able to listen to it, understand how it impacts their own life, understand what the invitation is to walk with Christ in their own lives. And I wonder about like what that means in using a prophetic voice in this day and age, more than it does about my constant journey to be better at Spanish. And also what it means for me to be in relationship with the person sitting next to me in a pew who may have a very different worldview than I do. And yet we are both sitting in the same pew. We have both traveled to this place, to this church, to listen to the gospel and to consider how it affects our own lives, and then to embrace what that journey is, with dusty feet or otherwise, on the road ahead together.
I love that idea of how does this person next to me hear and understand at a time when the language that is being used might not be really suited to that person, and not just like language, you know, English versus Spanish. I speak Danish, a relatively unhandy language because there's really not many people in the world who speak it. And I have discovered over the years that I can be in a crowded space, and if I hear someone speaking Danish, it's like there's this little flicker and my eye and ear just like turn directly towards it. And I start to seek it out and I sort of crane my head so that I can find the person and I can, you know, regale them with my high school Danish. And
I love that.
But it strikes me that when we are open enough to change our language just a little bit, mm-hmm. to be open to describing the power of the Spirit in a different way, that we might be like that little flicker that someone hears and they turn their head and it's like, oh, oh. Yeah. And when we picture these people on Pentecost morning, we know it's morning because mm-hmm. perhaps they're not drunk yet.
9 a.m.
Here they are, and we've got all of these languages from places that are not very big, and yet suddenly they hear that word, and just that connection and that coming together, which is going to conveniently just feed right into my point. So when we're ready for it.
I think we're ready for it then, because if it leads right there, let's do it.
It leads right there. And because my point is the day of Pentecost restores us to community. And with this idea of listening and hearing, that is exactly what is happening. They are no longer Medes and Parthians and Phrygians. They are humans hearing the good news of God in Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit presented to them in a way that they can hear it and engage with it. And they are no longer Jew and Greek and North and South. They are the people of God. We see the world is so fractured, mm-hmm. And we see that the Jewish world was so fractured and you know, spread out all over the place. Israel itself was sort of in a dicey situation. That's an understatement. And then the other context thing to remember is Acts of the Apostles, written by Luke, same author as the Gospel of Luke, likely written after the destruction of Jerusalem. And so that connection back to this time of community when Jerusalem existed, for Luke's readers and for the readers of the Acts of the Apostles, they have already known about this great loss, and they have been cast to the four winds, and they are reconvened, so to speak, here in this wonderful tale of this gift and this miracle and these languages and this restoration and this power of the Holy Spirit given to all of creation. It's a wonderful passage, and it's the reason that you don't preach on Pentecost Sunday on the Gospel of John. We love the Gospel of John, but...
I love that you came full circle with that. I love the language restoration of community, because communities do get fractured sometimes. And I think that while they are two separate points, there is definitely a common thread through yours and mine, because communities are healed when we not only hear each other, but that we listen to each other.
Because the people hearing, if your language hadn't been spoken, you would have just heard
noise,
cacophony, chaos. What in the heck is going on?
Well, and I was thinking also, like, when people are in conflict with each other, you will often hear them say, I hear you, I hear you. Yes, but are you listening
to
me?
But are you listening to me? Or am I just a clanging gong?
Oh, another scripture reference. So good. So good. But I think that that is an interesting invitation this Pentecost to think about what it would look like. What are the communities that you are part of that are in need of healing or in need of restoration? And what is the opportunity within that to hear each other, not just as I heard you, I sat patiently, you know, and heard you, but I deeply listened. And now I'm ready to engage in the restoration of our community.
And a challenge in that same setting to be open to hearing a new language, hearing things described in words that perhaps you had not used before, and perhaps more importantly, for the person speaking to open themselves to the power of the Spirit that may give them different words so that they can reach the person they're speaking to.
I love that.
Because that's the miracle, is the Spirit giving them words. And we worry so often about, how will I know what I'm going to say? We're going to know what to say because the Spirit is going to give us words. And we hear that throughout Scripture. The Spirit's going to give us words. The trick is to not be holding on too tightly to our own words.
Yeah. Often when I am entering into a conversation that I think is going to be challenging, a time of conflict, my prayer as I'm heading into it is, help me be open, help me be open, help me be open. So complicated and so fancy, I know. But I realize that if I cannot close myself off, if I can't have a predetermined thought about what's going to happen, then what I'm really doing is leaving room for the Spirit to... Yeah. to give me the words or to give me the ears to hear.
Right, because it's open in two ways. It's open to hear what's being said, because we have to believe that this beloved child of God on the other side of the table is also speaking words that the Spirit has given him or her. Mm-hmm. So to be open to hearing their words and open to hearing the Spirit as it bids us try something new, rather than just yammer on with the same things we've said 75 times.
Yes. Yes. Said every parent everywhere. I love this. I think that is our two points today, which were kind of a communal point also. And mine was about this invitation, not just to hear, but to deeply listen to what is being said to you, and thinking about the opportunity, not just for engaging with different languages, but engaging with what's being said from different perspectives. And then Canon Gwen's point was similar, fed off of it, and it was about this restoration of community and what it meant, not just for the people back in this time, but what it could mean for all of us to restore community. And I think that that also is an invitation to our listeners, that if they would like Canon Gwen and myself to come and co-preach on Pentecost, we have got a sermon for you. We will come and deliver it together, side by side. It'd be so fun. You only have a matter of days to invite us, but we might be available. I don't know. Actually, no, we're both at Resurrection on Pentecost.
Both are at Resurrection on
Pentecost.
That's
right. So you can listen to this instead. We do want to hear from you. We would love to hear about what stood out for you in this reading. If you have a third point, if you have a thought about the restoration of community or hearing and listening, any of those things or more, if you have a God sighting that you would like to share with us, please send it to us, because you are an important part of our faith Faith2Go community, and we want to know what you have to say. Thank you, Ken and Gwen, for hosting with me today.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed being here.
And I guess we didn't mention that this also is kind of Faith2Go on the go, because we are recording in Ken and Gwen Lynch's office. Greg and Gwen and myself are gathered around her table, surrounded by her plants and her books for our recording today.
All the way from the downstairs conference room.
I'm moving on up.
It's that travel that we were talking about.
That's right. Up the stairs and around the corner to Ken and Gwen Lynch's office we go. All right, friends. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Faith2Go podcast. We hope that you will join us next week when we talk about the week after Pentecost. And until then, we say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.